Sure. So my name is Rebecca Kaplan, and I currently serve as the Oakland City Council Member at Large, which means I'm elected to represent the entire city of Oakland. I was first elected to this seat in 2008 and re-elected in 2012, both times by 61% of the vote. Previous to that, I served on the AC Transit Board of Directors, which is an elected position here, where, unlike most of the country where transit boards are not elected, the ones in the Bay Area are. And so I worked on clean fuel buses, expanding late-night service to cover BART routes while BART is closed, getting bike racks installed on all the buses, and expanding service in underserved neighborhoods. So I began to get years of experience as an elected official working on public policy to improve people's lives on that board prior to coming to the city council. And I'll talk more afterwards about what I've done on the city council, but before that, I worked as a housing rights lawyer in Oakland. I attended Stanford Law School, worked for the labor law firm Altshuler Burzon, where we did workplace safety cases, and did my undergraduate work at MIT.
Okay. So what would you say makes Oakland a unique city?
Oakland is a unique conversion of a strong potential for expanding economic opportunity together with a vibrant and engaged and diverse population. And we are located on major transportation hubs, which we have not yet harnessed. So the reason I have such hope for what can be accomplished in Oakland if we were to govern effectively is because we can have development without displacement. We can incorporate our existing community into growing economic prosperity in part because we have vacant parcels on transit lines. So as the world grows in awareness of the need to have transit-oriented development, Oakland is better positioned to actually do that than most places are. As we are working to support our local entrepreneurs, artists, small local businesses, we have a population that is very vibrant and engaged and can be a part of that. And so what's necessary is for us to support our small local businesses to grow, to make sure that local residents get jobs in the new development projects and have their housing rights protected. And in doing so, we could expand our economy in a way that actually benefits many of the people who are already here.
So what would you do to make sure that the economic benefits. Maybe turn that off. Here, ask my question while you're turning it off. The economic benefits affect the current residents of Oakland and not maybe ones who are coming in.
So some of the things I've already started working on are local contracting policies and local hiring policies for the city, so that when we have projects coming in, local businesses get opportunity to participate in them, and local workers get a chance to have those jobs. In addition, I have worked to launch a disparity study to ensure that we are engaging fairly in the city's contracting process so that even in the contracts that the city itself gives out, to make sure that we're fully incorporating the full diversity of our local community. In addition, when we have the opportunity to have our local businesses succeed and thrive, often it's about making sure the permit process is easier, making sure that they don't get held up in red tape. And so part of what I'm committed to doing as mayor is making it such that people can't just get turned down for a business permit with no explanation or be told three different answers by three different people at the permit desk, because part of what impedes the growth of our local businesses is that kind of red tape. And so in addition to the local hiring and local contracting policies, I see getting rid of that red tape as an important part of the solution.
Streamlining everything.
Yeah.
You said, I saw on your website that you said you'll create 30,000 new jobs by the end of your first term.
That's right.
What jobs would those be?
The specific areas in which it's really important to expand jobs in Oakland are areas where we get a double bang for our buck. The person gets a job, and the community gets improved. And so Oakland has a pothole problem. Oakland also has an unemployment problem. If you combine the pothole problem with the unemployment problem, you have one solution. And so right now in our pothole filling program, the city is 2 years behind in getting that money out on the street to fill the potholes. And also, I've been working to bring additional funds to Oakland to further expand our street repair and sidewalk repair efforts. And so I will initiate a major blitz of getting significant numbers of streets and sidewalks that are in bad disrepair repaired quickly, so that then we have the kind of improvements that improve quality of life in the neighborhood and help attract businesses. In addition, we have the capacity to have significant new projects at West Oakland BART, Lake Merritt BART, Broadway Valdez, Coliseum, and other locations throughout Oakland, where we can harness those empty plots of land, many of which are right on transit corridors, to bring in both new housing and new retail. Oakland is very underserved in retail, and so we're losing about $2 billion a year in sales from Oakland residents traveling to surrounding cities. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the specific examples of steps I would take to launch significant job-generating efforts.
Like something that's happening at MacArthur BART, you mentioned.
Exactly. MacArthur BART project, which is approved and now underway, is a perfect example where we take available space, create transit-oriented housing, shops, and more, and we have many more locations in Oakland to add projects like that.
Okay. Leather chairs are always difficult to deal with. They're very noisy. Okay.
I mean, I don't know how long of a airtime you're going to have.
Yeah.
Some of the other areas where I think it's really important for us to grow is around food production in Oakland, as well as in the food processing industry, and improving how we deal with trucking and goods movement by creating logistics facilities that are near rail and near the port. So those projects will improve air quality, improve local access to healthy food, and create local jobs.
Okay. So public safety.
Yes.
Violent crime has been down in recent years in Oakland.
Violent crime is up from 4 years ago, depending which category you're looking at, by between 15% and 30%.
It's been down from a year or two ago, though.
From a year ago? Well, yeah. Yes. It's down from a year ago, but it's still higher now, significantly higher now than it was 4 years ago. And so if we're going to talk about how we solve it, it's important that we identify what went wrong. Crime is significantly higher now than it was 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, several of my colleagues on the city council voted to lay off huge numbers of police officers. And I voted no on that. And since that time, crime has gone up markedly. And many neighborhoods have lost their regular assigned neighborhood beat officer. So then not only do they lose that crime-solving capacity, but they've lost that relationship that gets built over time. When you have an assigned beat officer, you can really build those bonds of trust with the community. And so looking at the loss of the number of officers and the loss of the beat assignments, those are things that I think it's absolutely essential that we rebuild those features.
So you're saying hire more cops and get more police officers that have like beats in neighborhoods?
Yeah, restore the filling of every beat. Oakland had just over 800 officers 4 years ago, and crime was falling every year. And it's really a problem to not be able to fully staff all the beats. It undermines the relationship building. It undermines the trust in the community. And when people see that an area is unpoliced, it can incite people to think Oakland's an easy mark for crime. And so if you look at the categories of crime that have gone up significantly, the armed robberies, the home invasion robberies, auto thefts, those they tend to be crimes that happen when there's a sense that it's easy to get away with them in a particular area. And so the increase in those types of crimes, I think, is directly related to the lack of the ability to have the full deployment to every beat consistently.
Okay. Along with public safety, there's the relationship between the police and certain communities have been strained.
Very
for,
much.
For a while, and especially
very
recently.
Much.
What? How would you balance sort of keeping crime down and the relationship between the police departments? And
so one of the most destructive myths that's been pushed in Oakland is that we should pit responsible and respectful policing against crime fighting. And that is historically been a right-wing tactic, you know, where people who argue in favor of violating people's constitutional rights will say that you need to do that to fight crime. It is untrue. And in fact, the elimination of the neighborhood beat officers is a perfect example of why it's not true that these things are in competition. Losing the neighborhood beat officers undermines those relationships of trust that you need to have to build respectful relationships between the police and the community. And removal of those beat officers also reduces our crime fighting capacity. Similarly, if you're looking at policies like stop and frisk or curfews, which I do not support and which have a long track record of eliciting complaints about unconstitutional and disrespectful behavior, if we waste police officers' time engaged in those kind of practices, then those police aren't spending that time chasing murderers and home invasion robbers. And so part of what I'm seeking to bring to this dialogue is an understanding that we have to have a sufficiently staffed and deployed police department and fully expect from them respectful and constitutional behavior, which requires devoting the time and effort to building those bonds. And it's also why I am pushing to significantly increase local hiring in our police department. Our police department is currently 8% people from Oakland. And so it's not a surprise then that there's a feeling of disconnect for many people. And so if we can increase the number of Oakland residents and people with a history of knowledge of Oakland who we're recruiting into our police department, that will also help restore that trust.
Let me just remember for a second.
do we need to put that somewhere
no,
else?
No, it's okay. I'm doing okay. Just sometimes
we're testing your.
Sometimes I have to move it around.
Absolutely.
Why is it why right now is there only an 8% or only 8% of police officers Oakland residents?
Well, there's many things that have impeded the local hiring. Historically, there wasn't significant effort on recruiting from Oakland, and a great amount of money instead being spent sending recruiters, you know, out of state, you know, far-flung recruiting. As we work to change that, one of the things that has been explained to me by the people handling the recruiting is that sometimes Oakland residents are being rejected for reasons that don't appear to have any relationship with skill as a police officer. So in the last several academies, 1,400 Oakland residents applied, but only 32 were accepted out of 1,400 who applied. And so I started asking what was happening with people being rejected, and I was told that some were rejected for a bad credit score, some were rejected for prior marijuana use. And so we look at things like this that don't seem to have a relationship to whether someone would be a good police officer, and those should not be grounds for rejecting people from the department.
So probably the most publicized event in Oakland in recent years is Occupy Oakland. Got a lot of press around the country. If you had been mayor when that happened, how would you have handled Occupy Oakland?
I would have worked directly with people and much, much earlier. Part of why there came to be such a crisis is because there was lack of communication and a lot of time was allowed to pass without dealing with it. And so in addition, let me say that we should not be deploying militarized weapons. The deployment of the militarized equipment, firing tear gas canisters or what's called beanbag, but they're not beanbags. They are filled with lead shot at people, is unacceptable. And creates a worse environment. You know, it's things self-perpetuate. And so by creating a more negative environment, it then attracted more negative energy and created a spiral where things got out of control. And so we have a responsibility not to be using things, one, that can cause incredible damage to people physically, and also not to be making a situation worse by escalating it with militarized tactics.
Kwan has been mayor for 4 years now. How do you feel about her term? What do you think? I guess my first question is, what do you think she got right?
What I think she got right is that I think she is not corrupt. She is someone who wants to care about people. And so I would say that that's something she got right. And, you know, I also want to make clear that I don't hate her. This isn't about her being a bad person. The reason I decided to step up to run for mayor is seeing the incredible turnover of staff, the very low morale of staff, people leaving key positions, and vital projects not moving forward, in part because of the significant turnover in key positions, and projects being impeded, job opportunities being squandered. And so for me, it's about the fact that we have work that needs to get done, and that requires recruiting and retaining good staff. It requires making clear that we do need to expand local economic opportunity. We need to make life easier for our small local businesses, and we need to expand jobs for Oakland residents. And in many of these cases, important things not moving forward because of the turnover. And so it's not a personal thing for me.
Well, why was there turnover, and what would you do to make that not happen if you were mayor?
Well, I think it's important to be able to instill commitment and to select people on the basis of them having that kind of commitment, both people who have the skill level and people who really want to be in Oakland and want to make that contribution. And then on top of that, you have to treat them well and empower them to be able to accomplish their jobs.
You said in the SF Chronicle, you said, similar to what you're saying now, all of the top goals the city is trying to accomplish right now are being hampered by a lack of effective leadership. Does the city council have any responsible for any of that, or is it more the mayor?
So the structure of government in Oakland is that the city council is the legislative branch and the mayor is the executive branch. So the council has the power to pass laws. The mayor and the city administrator oversee the implementation. So, for example, as a city council, we passed laws to crack down on illegal dumping. Illegal dumping is a significant problem in Oakland, and we should be enforcing those laws. And if someone is illegally dumping in Oakland, we should take their truck. I mean, we should not allow this kind of misconduct to continue. So the council passed the law to crack down on illegal dumping, but it hasn't been implemented. Similarly, as a council member, I worked for and passed a budget to increase 911 dispatchers. People should not be put on hold when they call 911. And to expand evidence technicians so we can solve crimes. And then time passes and many of those positions continue to sit vacant. So the council has the responsibility to pass the laws, but the executive branch has to enforce them. And so I decided I needed to seek the executive branch seat in order to make sure that our laws do get enforced.
I have a slightly tougher question. There was an article that came out in the Tribune a couple of months ago, about your last campaign for mayor and money from a ballot fund and being used to pay mayoral staffers. And I just wanted to ask you about that. What happened with that?
Oh, no, I'm glad you asked. And it's actually not a tough question. Okay. It was completely untrue. And something that the Tribune did not report, but which East Bay Citizen has since reported, is that the allegation was an orchestrated smear campaign specifically organized by staff of another candidate in this mayoral election. and that the people who were quoted making allegations against me in the Tribune are all active supporters of one of the other candidates and have all contributed to one of the other candidates, and that they actually planned and orchestrated this as a mudslinging effort and sadly did not disclose that they were all involved in another campaign.
Okay, I didn't know that. Interesting. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, people should at least sling their own mud. I mean, and, you know, to pretend to be neutral observers making allegations against me when, in fact, it was an organized effort by a group of supporters of another candidate, I think is not truthful and not a good way to go about how we conduct our election campaigns. I am fully committed to public ethics, and in fact, I'm an active supporter of ballot measure CC on the November ballot, which will strengthen the authority of the Ethics Commission to make sure that we do have strong ethics in Oakland. I also think that we need to make sure that when people make allegations, that they're not hiding behind other people and pretending not to make allegations.
Okay. There are a lot of changes happening in Oakland right now, economic, demographic. How do you feel about them in general and the direction Oakland is going?
I think if we don't play our cards right, we're going to have significant problems. And that's part of why I think it's so important that we protect the economics of the people who are here. And that means both in terms of job opportunity, and it also means in terms of housing rights. And we can expand without displacement, but that will only happen if we enforce the tenant laws that are on the books, strengthen those that need fixing, and provide adequate public education. Many tenants in Oakland might not even know that it is illegal in Oakland to kick out a tenant for the purpose of replacing them with somebody who will pay more. That is illegal. It's illegal because several of us, myself included, passed a ballot measure years ago, a just cause eviction, to make that illegal in Oakland. And so as mayor, I will work to expand public outreach both around what people's rights are and also about how to have adequate staffing and referral to support people who need their rights protected.
Okay. You can say something else?
Well, what I was going to say is that doesn't mean that we don't welcome the economic growth. We just have to make sure that the existing community has the opportunity to benefit from that economic growth. Economic growth is important to Oakland's future, in part because it's how we pay for the public services that we need. So new buildings being built, new shops opening are a benefit to everyone in Oakland if we use those resources to benefit everyone in Oakland.
A couple softer questions. What's your favorite food spot in Oakland to go out to eat or to get?
Ooh, my favorite food spot. Well, one of my favorite food spots is Everett and Jones Barbecue, which is on Broadway and 2nd near Jack London Square. Great place, great barbecue. Highly recommend it. Also, I want to say our farmers markets actually are another great way to experience Oakland and experience great food in Oakland. And then I'll say also a mobile food spot, which is we now have had significant growth in the food truck business in Oakland. And that was something I worked on as a council member, updating our laws to incorporate food trucks as something that could happen in Oakland with the food truck events, things like Off the Grid, and then also just groups of food trucks themselves having locations they can vend. And I think that's been a promising development in terms of supporting growth for some of our smaller business people in Oakland, being able to have more opportunity to reach customers. So I would name that as well as a positive thing in Oakland.
And, okay. Yeah. Anything else you wanna say?
See, now every restaurant I didn't name is going to be like wanting to know why I didn't.
Because it wasn't
name
a soft question.
So, no, because there are so many great restaurants in Oakland, yeah. And that's absolutely a positive for our city, and it should be something that should be able to be expanded for every community.
Anything else in general you wanna say about Oakland or your campaign?
Well, just one more thing on the topic of food. One of my most recent policy efforts has been around fighting to expand the ability of people to grow vegetables in Oakland. It might surprise some to know that people trying to grow vegetables had been being told by the administration that they need a $2,500 conditional use permit. And one of the things I've been working on is changing that law. And, you know, we are incredibly blessed here. We have good weather. We have good soil. We have people who know about and care about gardening. And so to be impeding the growth of something that expands public health and community ties, because community gardens strengthen bonds in neighborhoods, and they also provide access to healthy food and can do so in many areas that are lacking. And so I have been fighting to change that law so that we can have an expansion of growing our own food here. And in context, you know, when we talk about the problems of global corporate agribusiness, it is not going to last as a way of doing business. It's far too dependent on cheap oil to function. And we can be growing our own food here. And it can create jobs for local residents. It can create beauty in lots that otherwise would be blighted, as well as strengthening bonds in neighborhoods. So it's really important that City Hall helps and not hinders those efforts.
Okay. I thought of another question I wanted to ask.
Excellent.
If you were mayor, what policies would you maybe enact to help arts in Oakland and to help fund and support the arts?
Awesome. I love that. Oakland has more artists per capita than any other city in California. And one of the things that is really negatively impacting artists are the skyrocketing housing prices. And so it's really important that we protect and expand housing for all income levels. And also, Oakland used to provide affordable housing for artists at what was then the Alice Arts Center. And so I would like to restore that as one of the things that we are seeking to make available to help low and moderate income artists be able to have opportunities to live. And then we also need to protect spaces for artists to do their work and display their work. And so making vacant storefronts available on short-term deals to artists. I'm very pleased with we now have some new theaters that work with smaller and local companies. I think that's a positive development. But the arts are also part of the healing of Oakland. And one thing I would encourage people to take a look at if they haven't seen it yet, there's this gorgeous new mural on the 580 underpass at Market Street. And it was put there by a community group under the guidance of a nonprofit called Attitudinal Healing Connection, and with local youth being involved in the art. And doing murals on some previously blighted spaces has really transformed areas. It reduces tagging, it reduces dumping, and can help instill a greater sense of neighborhood pride and a sense that, you know, we care about this area. So I think that's another important thing to uplift and recognize about the role the arts can have in Oakland.
Awesome. Great. It's been half an hour.
Awesome.
Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.